We're all in great need of Jesus every single day. None of us have gotten to the place where, I'm okay with Jesus for today. No, all of us need as much Jesus as we possibly can get every day. I wanted to mention, got two things before I start my sermon. I'm wearing this shirt. A couple of weeks ago, a pastor from a church in Camden, Christ Church Camden, Pastor John McCarron, he shared an email, and he sent to a bunch of pastors saying, hey, listen, we want to highlight a church during the summer months. We want to just highlight a church and pray for your church. And if you'll send me a shirt, I'll wear your shirt on that specific Sunday. And we're just going to go ahead as a congregation and pray for your church. I said, John, that's a great idea. I said, I will send you a shirt. How about you send me a shirt, and then I will go ahead and wear it, and we'll take a few moments and pray for your congregation and pray for what God wants to do there. The moment that we think that, you know, HTAG is all that and a bag of chips and everybody else, all the other churches, we're in the wrong. We're not here to build HTAG. We're here to build the kingdom of God, to lift up the name of Jesus, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's no other name under heaven where man can be saved but other than Jesus Christ. Amen. And so just for a few moments, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. I just ask you to just raise your hand or close your eyes, but just agree with me as we pray for Pastor John McCarron, his family, and the congregation of Christ Church Camden. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for, Lord, that church, Lord, in its specific location, the people that they're reaching. Lord, I pray for the leadership. They'll fall in line with your word and your Holy Spirit, that they will speak, teach, and that they will disciple what your word specifically tells us how to do it. Father, you'll bless them. Father, you'll give them favor. Father, you'll give them wisdom and direction. You'll protect them, Father God. Lord, I pray for the leadership of Christ Church Camden, that they would, Father God, be your light, Lord, wherever you send them. Lord, I pray for the congregation. Lord, they're about to break ground and do some building. Father, I thank you, God, Lord, for that vision. I pray for the congregation, Lord, to be united. Lord, to move forward. Forward, like the shirt says, to move forward in the direction that you have them, that they would be a lighthouse in this community, Lord. Lord, not just one church. You need all the churches to be a lighthouse in this community, in this area, in this part of the state, in this part of the nation, in this world. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, as they extend their arms, Lord, to reach out all around the world, that you will anoint them and bless them, Father God. Lord, as they look to you, God, the author and the finisher of their faith, as they look to your word to teach them, to train them, Lord, to cause them to be fishers of men, I pray that you will bless them, your favor would be upon them, and whatever they're going to build, Lord, you will cause them to prosper, and you will see, Lord, that you'll bring the resources to be able to finish that task. Bless Christ Church Camden, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I like this shirt because it says forward, and of course it says for, it says for Jesus, for each other, and for Camden. And I thought that was pretty good. So they're moving forward, and so we're going to be moving forward also, but I'll share that a little bit. I wanted to mention this, that you'll find this in the foyer. Not sure if you saw it. Not sure if you just passed by it. Looked a little confusing. I don't know, but we wanted to go ahead and focus on, we're sending a group of five people. Now, we mentioned this many months ago, about last year, and see how many people were interested. Some were interested, and then when we got kind of a little bit closer and found out what dates, some people had to back out, probably because of the dates. But we're sending five people to Ecuador, okay? And I'm excited about this because I have not gone to Ecuador, but the fact that you have the opportunity to impact the lives of the people in Ecuador without you even stepping foot there by your prayer and financial support. So these five people have already raised their finances for their plane tickets, but we're wanting to send them with a financial love offering from Hidden Treasures so that they can be able to be a blessing to that church as they reach out to the people. I mentioned on Wednesday, it's a great thing for missionaries to go on a mission trip, bring a bunch of things, buy a bunch of things, do a bunch of things, but then they're going to leave. If they don't connect with the church that's already there and what they're doing, we're just partnering with them. We're partnering with these churches in Ecuador, and the fact that our five, I'm not sure how many of them are going to be a little stage fright, but the ministry that we're focusing with, they have a television ministry, and the name just left me. Univision. Univision, Univision. And so that's the television station there. And they're going to like interview them. So we're going to hope that we'll be able to find that on Facebook, if it's Facebook Live, or just they're going to post it on HTAG News. But the fact that this television station, I mean, broadcast the gospel, not also other things, but broadcast the gospel to so many houses. And so we're going to have that opportunity. And so we want to ask you to consider, you write your name on this line and they'll color that. If your kid wants to donate $5, great, put his name on there. Don't just put your whole family's name. Put your kid's name on there. Let them learn what it means to do a little sacrifice. Hey, sorry, you know, no Happy Meal. Let's go ahead and sacrifice this Happy Meal so that people in Ecuador can hear the gospel of Jesus. And so do that. Put your name on there. And then each one. Now, there's 75 spots. And so I mentioned this on Wednesday. $25 if you want to. Go ahead and put a bunch of names on there and go ahead and give to this mission trip to Ecuador. So I wanted to just share that. All right. Okay, so announce Ecuador trip and pray. And so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 3. My first slide. Now, my first slide has all of Nehemiah, and you're probably like, whoo, that's real small. Well, I know that because Nehemiah is pretty long. It's 32 verses, Nehemiah chapter 3. But I want you to kind of just be able to see all of the words that are highlighted, then the words that are highlighted and underlined, and then the words that are just underlined. I wanted to kind of point that out. 32 verses, I'm not going to read all of those. I'm just going to read a couple of those words that are highlighted. Okay? You don't have to stand as I read some of these, because again, I'm not going to read all 32 verses. But the words that are highlighted are people. Okay? Representing people. High priests. Other priests. Construction supervisors, the people who are over the headquarters of the governor of the province of the west of the Euphrates River, goldsmiths by trade, manufacturer of perfumes, these are people, a leader of half the district of Jerusalem, and then the leader of the other half of the district of Jerusalem, the leader of Beth HaKarim district, the leader of Mizpah district. Actually, there's one that's in red. It says his daughters. The people who worked on the roof. So there were roofers. The leader of the half of the district of Keilah. A leader, a countryman, priests, temple servants, priests, gatekeepers, goldsmiths, merchants. All these people were involved in building the wall. It wasn't just a select few, just a bunch of, you know, guys that get their hands dirty. There were priests. They worked in the temple. There were high priests. There were leaders of government or headquarter officials, leaders of a certain district or area, probably pencil pushers. There were goldsmiths. And what really intrigued me was it says merchant of perfumes, people who sold perfume, people who probably smelled good every time they came home from work. These are different people that built the wall, because it didn't just take a select few. I wanted to point out that it took a lot of different people from different trades, different types of work, different people. Now, the words that are highlighted are in bold and underlined. Sheep gate, fish gate, old city gate, broad wall, tower of the ovens, valley gate, dung gate, probably stunk right there, but the fountain gate, house of warriors, Eliashib's house, there was an armory, king of upper house, hill of Ophel, horse gate, east gate, water gate, inspection gate, and at the end, sheep gate. I'm going to show you in a little bit of a diagram or a map of what the walls that Nehemiah built. But these were all the gates. They were specific locations. And this is good, because when you're thinking about people that build a wall, it's not just a wall of sheetrock. Actually, they didn't even know what sheetrock was. Actually, when they built a wall, it wasn't just one block or cement block. There were a bunch of blocks. It wasn't just 6 inches wide And I'm going to share with you from archaeological and biblical history how wide they think it was, and how the parameter of the whole city of Jerusalem. And then the other things that are underlined is wall, beams. It wasn't just a wall. There were beams. Beams of wood. There were doors. There were bolts, bars. It mentioned about people that roofed it. I don't think they have shingles, but they probably had some kind of mortar, something to be able to put a roof, because it says they roofed it. A bunch of different people, a bunch of different materials, a bunch of different places. And this all was because it was God's city and the walls were in disarray and ruined. My next slide. God uses us. He wants to use us. God uses us in spite of who we are. So if you're looking at yourself, you're looking in the mirror, or this morning you thought yourself as a person who's just not really great, who's just not like that other person, quit looking at that other person and look to the God that created you. Look to the God that had given you talents and abilities that no one else can do but other than you, and ask God, God, what do you want to do in my life? God uses us in spite of who we are, not because of it. I am so thankful of that, because of who I was or where I came from. God isn't limiting me based on that. Some of you are probably like, praise God. You want to shout out because you know who you were once were, where you came from, what you used to do. And God does is not stick to that boundary. Oh, yeah, you were a liar. Yeah, I'm not going to have you be a teacher. Yeah, I'm not going to have you tell stories because you were a really good liar. You know, you could tell them fish stories, you know, when it was that small, but you exaggerated a lot. No, God will use you. You surrender to him. And when God uses us, and again, going back to that whole chapter 3, I see different people using different things, building different things, and in different locations of that whole wall, of that whole perimeter of the city. God used them, and they worked in unity. And whenever God's people are working in unity, how beautiful that is. Because it glorifies the Father. Because it glorifies God in this situation. When he's looking down, he's looking at all of his servants who trust in him, rely on him, and they're doing what he's called them to do, and that glorifies the Father. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. I'm not sure how many of you actually keep this in the forefront of your mind, but matter of fact, just the other day, I was praying this for those of you. The Lord just brought all of you who work on Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay. Not sure why, but the Lord led me, and I began to pray for all of those who attend Hidden Treasures, who work on that base, that God would honor them because they honor God in all that they do. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, it says do heartily. Not, okay, you know, no. Doesn't mean cut corners. It means do heartily because you're doing it to the Lord and not unto men. So anybody else who works, you don't work on the base, wherever you work, whatever you do, house mom, whatever you do, wherever you shop, whatever you do so heartily because you do it as unto the Lord. I tell you what, I get convicted sometimes because I don't put the cart back. I get convicted sometimes because I don't do that. And then I got to go put it back because I feel bad. Because some person, maybe an older person, not going to be able to park close to where they want to park because there is three buggies right there because me and two other knuckleheads were too lazy to go put it back 5 feet away. So I get convicted of that. So whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Now this is an amazing thing as they were building this wall. God didn't need them to rebuild this wall. He wanted to use them. God doesn't need you, but he wants to use you. And you find something that's revealed in all of this that I mentioned earlier. There's unity. And that is such a blessed thing when you find God's people in unity. Moving forward, because God said move forward. To rebuild God's city, all their work, all their effort, all their sacrifice, it glorified God. Now, there are four students and from our church that are at a kids camp. They've been at a kids camp for now a week, week and a couple of days. They'll be there all this week. It's Ezra, Silas, Noah, and Kalen. And they've been ministering. They've been helping. They've been cleaning. They've been setting up games, setting up this, breaking things down, bringing water, because there's a bunch of kids at kids camp. Now, we're going to send a bunch of kids to that same kids camp this week. And I want us to go ahead and pray, because there have been just been several things. Last week, I think it was for almost a day and a half, they had no power. The kids ended up that were there ended up eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because some sandwiches. They had sandwiches because they couldn't turn on the ovens, and they couldn't turn on, all the power was gone. They didn't have service that first night. They had to have two services on day two. And so, but I want to pray just for all of those that have been working and serving, that God will honor them, that God will bring favor upon them and bless them for their sacrifice, because they all worked in unity. And then, of course, for our kids that are going, and the leaders that are going to camp this week. So just bow your heads with me. Father, we just come to you and we thank you. Thank you, God, that you hear us. And Lord, we just pray for all of those that are working the kids camp, Lord, and every Bible-believing camp that's going on in these next few weeks, Lord. I pray for the Holy Spirit to move mightily. I pray for all the children to be safe, Lord. I pray blessings upon those that are sacrificing and serving. Bless them as they work in unity, Lord, to glorify you and to make camp a worthwhile and a memorable moment for all the kids that attend. Lord, I pray for our kids that are going to camp this week. Bless them. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to them the plans that God has for them. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would pour your Holy Spirit upon these kids, that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray for kids to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray for safety for all the kids groups that are going to camp. Protect them on the way there. Protect them on the way back home. I pray for protection, safety, fun all week long, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they'll have so much fun with slime and all that mud that they get to enjoy all week long. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. So again, God wants to use us, is my first point. He wants to use you. My next slide will be slide 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14. In the New English Translation, it says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and who makes known through us the fragrance that consists of the knowledge of him in every place." You ever walk somewhere and you walk into a store and you're like, "Ooh, they must have used dirty water when they mopped this floor. Or they didn't even mop the floor. They haven't mopped the floor. And the floor is sticky." I don't like going into a restaurant where once you walk in, your shoes start sticking to the ground. I won't go there again. But anyway, but if you walk into some place and all of a sudden the aroma, it might be of bacon, the aroma of steak, the aroma of just, they've cleaned. I mean, just smells good. You can tell. It just does something to you. But here it says, "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, who makes known through us." God wants to make Jesus known through you wherever you go. He wants to use you. Even if the situation doesn't seem triumphant. Anybody have those situations? You don't feel triumphant. You go to work, it doesn't feel like you're triumphing. You're having one of those bad days, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It does not feel like you're triumphing. God still wants to use you in those moments. Just go ahead and pick up your Bible and read the story about Esther. Read the story about Gideon. Read the story about John. He was secluded on the island of Patmos. I mean, at least he got to, all the sun. He's on an island, but he's by himself. He can't hang with his crowd. He can't invite his family, and they can't have Sunday dinner. I mean, he's by himself. He was just thrown on that island. Well, not really thrown, but he was sent to that island. God still wants to use you, even if it doesn't seem like it's a triumphant time. Since the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he always made room for people to be involved in what God wants to do. Matthew chapter 4, 19, Jesus says, "I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus didn't need them to become fish. He didn't need them to spread the gospel. Jesus wanted to. God gave those 12 to Jesus, and Jesus wanted to use them to make them fishers of men. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, When God can do all of the teaching, discipling, training, praying, God could do all of that himself by his Holy Spirit, by writing stuff in the clouds or having birds come and talk to you or whatever. He could have done all of that. He wants to use you and he wants to use me, and he's given us this great commission. The word commission, it means to render authority and responsibility. And he renders commission to believers to go. Not to sit and stay, but to go. Not to be idle, but to move. Go forward for Jesus, for each other, and for wherever he sent us. Dictionary.com gives this definition of commission. It's an instruction, a command, or duty given to a person or group of people. Let me ask you. How good are you doing at the commission that God has given you? This great commission. How much have you surrendered to it? How much have you committed to it, like we were talking about this morning? Being committed to the gospel? How many of you are committed to the great commission that Jesus has given you? And if you're saying, ouch, you know, hey, all of us, we're all in this boat together. We need Jesus. Lord, forgive me. Help me to remember my agenda out the window. Your agenda is priority. God, if you, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my mouth, Lord, use me. However you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, Lord, here I am, use me. We see and believe God has big plans for Hidden Treasures Assembly. Slide 4. Wanted to show you this couple of these slides here. Now, we're going to have a business meeting tonight. I don't want you to think, oh, business meeting is only for members. No, it's for those of you that have a heart for Hidden Treasures. You're a part of Hidden Treasures. Well, I'm not a member yet. I'm still deciding. That's fine. You can come at 6 p.m. We're going to have praise and worship, a little short devotion, and then we're going to have our business meeting. And so I want to encourage all to come. Our desire for all of us, not just a select few, is for all of us to move forward in what God is calling us, and Pastor Shannon is going to share about that. But even in the upcoming modeling projects, next slide, to make space for those whom God is going to send. And as you look around, you might say, well, there's a couple of empty seats. Well, there's a lot of people that don't like to sit close to other people. So we're making space for those that God's going to bring. Next slide. Go back to the next one. Ladies, that is the women's restroom. So you're having two more stalls. So woo, praise the Lord. Maybe not no more long lines. Next one. Men, you're getting another stall, and so there's never really a line for the men's restroom. But what's important is we're making it available for ADA compliant. There's some situations where there's really not enough room, and if someone was to come in a wheelchair, so we're wanting to be prepared ahead of time for that. Why? Because we believe God is bringing, because we're going to move forward, and we're going to have other things that I don't want to bust Shannon's bubble, but Pastor Shannon's going to share some things. Go to the next one. Where it's in green, that's where that section there, where there's a wall, that wall is going to be taken down. That wall and that window is going to be taken down. The mother's room will be relocated to a room across the hall. And so we're going to have access for more chairs in the space there, creating more space for God to send more people. We're creating space for special needs ministries, and hopefully a school of ministry sometime down in the future. But we're just so excited and thankful to what God is going to do, because he's told us to enlarge our space, to expand and to move our tents. And so we're just thankful that God is doing this, because he is leading us. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. It says here, but it so happened. How many of you have ever experienced when things are going good, trouble comes? There's a problem. But so it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? I'm just imagining their tone. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. I was thinking, that's pretty lame. I mean, you got to come up with a better line than that. Come on, a fox going up. Anyway, verse 4, hear, O our God. Now, this is where Nehemiah speaks. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. And I'm going to go a couple of years, but I'm picturing Nehemiah just saying, speak to the hand. Oh, God, look at these knuckleheads. These guys, God, just bring whatever they're trying to put on us, bring it back on them. Shut them up and just get them out of here. Verse 5, do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. I love that the people had a mind to work. Again, people that dealt with perfume, goldsmiths, people that were leaders, people that worked in the headquarters office. When I think about that, I think of pencil pushers, people that just worked in the office. They don't get their hands really dirty, you know. But white collar, blue collar, people that stay at home. It wasn't just men, because I highlighted in red, there were daughters. So there were women that were actually involved in the work. In life, we will experience many trouble, many obstacles, troublemakers, and distractions. The word mocker, also called scoffers in Scripture, it means to defy and renounce truth, or it's a person who defies and renounces truth and good things, not only to their own detriment and destruction, but that of others. They are provokers of others to wrong, strife, and evil. Really, what does mockery do to you? Does it bring fear to you? Does it bring distraction, confusion? How about doubt? It causes one to even question their own thought, questions their own actions, or even their lifestyle. Have you ever had a loved one say, why do you go to church and why do you tithe to that church? Why are you a Christian? Why don't you go out to the clubs with me? Why don't you have a drink with me? Why don't you just come on over to our party? Why are you such a goody-two-shoe? Why do they do that? What is their goal? What is their plan? To stop you in what you're already doing, living for the Lord, surrendered to God, where your finances aren't your finances, they're His. Your resources aren't your resources, they're His, because you know, as it was mentioned earlier, He's your Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. Sounds similar to what Satan said to Eve, didn't it? Did God really say that? Come on. Come on, Eve. Did God really say that? It's fake. And what did that cause Eve to do? Cause her to see something that God said, you're not supposed to look at it and you're not supposed to take it. And the mockery, the intimidation. Why do we allow the mockery of others or life's obstacles distract us? You see, their accusations and provoking to doubt or question their work. It could be similar to those who question your faith. It could be similar to, even if it's not people, it's a circumstance. For instance, God laid it on your heart to give to Ecuador. And maybe you'll give to Ecuador. And then in a couple of weeks, because this has happened even to us, you give and the Lord told you to give, and then your two tires go out. Or you find out that there's some problem, your water heater goes out. And then all of a sudden, it's that little, you know, the whisper from the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. See, told you you shouldn't have gave that. See, told you. That normally what happens. Someone gives their life to Jesus Christ, and I pray that it happens today, but you give your life to Jesus Christ, and then tomorrow, something bad happens. And you might have loved ones said, see, why did you go to church? Why are you trusting in God? Why are you listening to those people? You see, they have an agenda. The agenda is to stop what they're doing, to stop God's work. Sambal and Tobiah had an agenda to bring all this, what they were saying, as lame as it sounded, to stop what they were doing. Slide 8. How many of you, you know what that is, right? Objects in mirror are what? Closer than they what? Appear, right? God is always bigger than whatever you're looking at. It may not look like it's bigger. It's because you're looking like this at the situation or the problem. you're really looking at the situation. You're looking at the dilemma. You're looking at what people are saying about you. And it's right and close. It's right close to you. And that's why it looks bigger than God. But nothing is ever bigger than God. Now, if you have this, don't go to that slide yet. If you have this mirror, you might need to take your vehicle back to the dealership for a recall. Go ahead. Situations might look really ugly, really terrible and really ugly. But God, when you trust in Him, there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing better. Paul and Silas shows us that in the most ugly, difficult, hard moment of their life, it looked ugly. It looked bad. They were beaten so bad and put into the innermost prison. I mean, just think about it. They didn't have, you know, high-class showers and bathroom stalls and, you know, and the little white mints or whatever that are in. They didn't have any of that. Into the innermost part of the prison, it must have stunk and it was dark. And in that moment, they chose to do something sweeter, better, more beautiful than anything that was surrounding them. To give a worship, to give a song out to Almighty God, and they began to worship God and praise. It is a good thing if we can learn to do that. In your most difficult moment, that you don't look at that moment, but you look to Him and you begin to just outburst of praise, outburst of worship. If you want to dance, dance a little, but you shout out, you whisper, maybe, and you just worship God and you focus on Him. That's the most beautiful thing. No matter how ugly it looks, the beautiful thing is that we will learn and that we will discipline ourselves and learn to give praise to Almighty God. So in this situation, they're starting to build, and all of a sudden, here's trouble. They come, and the trouble is coming because they want them to stop. But our endeavor, my second point, our endeavor is to move forward. We must endeavor to accomplish God's task, God's plan, His vision of what He's given to us. We must endeavor to move forward because there is a place, and Jesus said it in John 14, there's a place that He's preparing for you. I mean, it would be downright disrespectful, wouldn't it, if somebody was to invite you and have you come over for dinner and you go to their house and they're not even home. They didn't make anything. They're at the steakhouse. They're at Waffle House. They're somewhere. They're just not at their house like they told you. They just lied. They just told you to come to their house. Come on over to eat. We cooked dinner. They didn't cook anything. My Jesus is not going to do that to me. He says He's going to go prepare a place for me that when He comes back, He's going to take me there. If we will endeavor to accomplish. And the most beautiful part of that is when we endeavor together because we do it in unity. So let's go back to the building of the wall. Not just any wall. Slide 10. Here's the image. Here's the image that probably Nehemiah and all that were working would have loved to have seen this final picture. We would all like to see the final picture of what our life is going to look like. But if we didn't, if God did, we wouldn't trust Him as we're walking with Him. We wouldn't learn and discipline ourselves to walk with Him to the end result. We would probably just sit in our lazy boy and say, oh yeah, here's the end result. This is where I'm going to be. This is how I'm going to look. This is what I'm going to be doing. And it would be a waste because chances are we'd never hit that because we would stop doing what God wants us to do. We would stop moving forward. And so as they built this wall, down here is the dung gate. That's where it stunk. But there's the fountain gate, the valley gate, the corner gate, the tower of Haniel, tower of Mia, chamber of the corner, the east gate, the horse gate, the Gihon spring, the water gate. I mean, all of these, look at that, all of that. I found out. And of course, this is, you know, there was nobody there with a tape measure, but The circumference of Jerusalem in his day, which equals about 4.5 English miles. Not sure how come it's not Spanish miles. But anyway, 4.5 miles. That would make the area within the walls of Jerusalem about 960 acres, 1.5 square miles. Many archaeologists believe that the walls of Jerusalem were about the same in both Nehemiah's day and Jesus' day. The length of the walls was 2.4966 miles. Their average height is 12 meters or 39.37 feet high. The average thickness, 2.5 meters or 8.2 feet. So again, it's not a flimsy thing. And if the winds blew, these walls were not falling. As they began to build, trouble came. Sambalat and Tobiah, this happens today. When you step out in faith, when you share your faith, when you accept Christ as your Savior, when you surrender to God's instructions, it seems as if something holy happens. Immediately afterwards, someone questions, what did you do? Why did you do it? Why did you give? Why did you go? Why did you go to church? An attempt to stop your faith and an attempt to question your God and your actions. My last point is believers don't walk this way. Believers walk in victory. And this is going back to 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ. Life may not feel triumphant right now, but don't quit looking at the obstacles, because they may look bigger, yet our God is bigger. The actions or the words of others don't make me feel triumphant. Quit looking and listening to what others are saying. Look and listen to what the Word of God says. And you'll find out that as we look in my last slide, 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anywhere did it say to stop? Anywhere did it say take a siesta? Anywhere it says to take a vacation from Christianity? No, it says be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because there's victory in how we're living. There's victory. Because of Jesus, we are victorious. Because of Jesus, we win. We win because of Jesus. So don't be moved to stop. Don't be moved to be idle, to doubt, or to disobey God. But be moved today to move forward, to advance to where God sends you, to accomplish what God is giving you, to advance the kingdom message to the kingdom of God and the kingdom's message, which is salvation in Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, that you look at us, hidden treasures here, and there are goals. There are things that you want us to accomplish. You want us to stretch and to expand and to make space, Lord, for what you're going to do for the people that are going to come. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the ministries that are going to be viable and active here as we, as your people, are going to endeavor to move forward. I thank you, God, that we're going to choose to learn, to train ourselves, not to look at situations. We're going to train to look at you. We're not going to hear what other people are saying, the naysayers, the mockers, the troublemakers. We're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit says and what your word has already told us, so that we can move forward in what you have for us, so that we can accomplish, God, so that we can learn and train ourselves to walk in victory, because we have the victory in Jesus. We give you thanks and praise, God, for what you're doing already and what you've already been doing in this service. Thank you, Father, for even, Lord, earlier, what you spoke, Lord. I pray, Father, that those who are not right, Lord, those who are questioning, Lord, they'll keep asking questions, they'll keep searching, and they'll come to you, Father. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, you move in this service, oh God. Continue to move in the lives of your people, Father. Lord, I pray that those, Lord, that are too timid, Father God, Lord, to come to the altar, they make an altar there at their seat, because, Lord, you are in this place. And you desire to change us. You desire to use us. Because in the midst of who we are right now, you greatly love us. Your love is so great and unconditional towards us. Thank you, God. God's love. God loves unconditionally every day.